Chapter 1. John F. Kennedy, Prelude to a Presidency. Every presidency begins in a fog of uncertainty. The most ordinary of our chiefs, whose administrations left unremarkable legacies, never figured out how to make enduring contributions to the country. Even America's three most notable White House occupants, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Franklin D. Roosevelt, initially puzzled, respectively, over how to launch, preserve, and rescue the ship of state. Small wonder, then, that at the start of his presidency, John F. Kennedy struggled to fulfill amorphous promises to secure the country from foreign dangers, restore prosperity, and end bitter racial divisions threatening public tranquility. Above all, he feared a crisis that could bring the world to the brink of a nuclear war. It cast a shadow over the realization that he would be the responsible official deciding the fate of millions everywhere. What would he do? He had no clear idea. After he heard that historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. wanted a White House appointment rather than an ambassadorship, Kennedy told him, "So, Arthur, I hear you are coming to the White House." "I am," Schlesinger replied. "What will I be doing there?" "I don't know," Kennedy responded. "I don't know what I'll be doing there. But you can bet we will both be busy more than 8 hours a day." Like Lincoln in the midst of the Civil War, Kennedy instinctively met the burdens of office with humor that he hoped would insulate him from the anguish of potentially catastrophic decisions. But 14 years of political activism, running twice for the House and twice for the Senate, had also imbued him with instrumental cynicism. The objective in his presidential campaign, for example, had been not to describe how he would fix the country's problems, but to win the election. He was following a well-developed tradition. The details of governing would have to come later. Immediately after being elected, Kennedy was too tired to define how and where he would lead the nation. He was exhausted. His reach for the White House, which had begun in 1957 and consumed every waking hour during 1960, had drained his energies and left him ill-prepared for the arduous work ahead in the Oval Office. Health problems, including Addison's disease, a possibly fatal malfunctioning of the adrenal gland, chronic back pain that had led to major unsuccessful surgeries, spastic colitis that triggered occasional bouts of diarrhea, prostatitis, urethritis, and allergies had added greatly to the normal strains of a nationwide campaign. But voters knew little about Kennedy's lifelong illnesses, which had hospitalized him 9 times for a total of 44 days between 1955 and 1957. Only 43 years old when he ran for the presidency, and masterful at giving the impression of youthful vigor, he had managed to mute questions about his capacity to meet the demands of governing. Yet during the campaign, political rivals had stirred suspicions about his health. Senate Majority Leader Lyndon B. Johnson, his principal challenger for the Democratic nomination, had encouraged journalists to inquire about his Addison's disease, describing Kennedy to one reporter as a little scrawny fellow with rickets. Moreover, during the fall run against Republican Richard Nixon, office break-ins of two of Kennedy's New York doctors suggest that, like the 1968 Watergate burglary, the Nixon campaign was trying to steal medical records that could decide the election outcome. When a medical bag containing Jack's many medications went missing during the campaign, he was frantic to recover it, because of the political consequences rather than any threat to his health. It would be murder, he told a political ally, if it got into the wrong hands. Responding to Kennedy's frail appearance at a press conference the day after his election, and unsubstantiated rumors about his health, a reporter asked whether talk about the president-elect's questionable fitness was true. Kennedy dismissed the inquiry with a wave of his hand, an assurance that he was in excellent shape. Yet Ted Sorensen, his principal Senate aide and speechwriter, recalled that Kennedy's mind was neither keen nor clear 2 weeks after his election. He still seemed tired then and reluctant to face up to the details of personnel and program selection. Kennedy aides felt compelled to follow up with public declarations that he was in superb physical condition, assuring everyone that he was fully prepared to handle the demands of the presidency.